Father, may you bless now as we come and share these hours together with you and your word. And we trust that that is exactly what happens. Your spirit is the one who teaches us, and we spend time with the Son and you as we share together. So we're so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the uniqueness of his resurrection. And may you guide in our thoughts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, on page 32, if you want that page, and I wouldn't mind that you do that, because what you need to do, those notes that I handed out, I think I've got a bummer verse in here somewhere. A wrong one. At least one. As far as the list. And so on E1, under one, down, you know, two-thirds of the way through the page, it says Colossians 2:2. And if you want to wear 2:2, you may, but it's 2:12.
Mine says Acts 13:30.
Page 2?
Page 2.
No, page 2.
Oh, I'm on page 32, E1, on the regular notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
E number 1.
That's why I was up here shuffling pages, because I realized I didn't have the right verse there.
Where?
When I went to highlight some things. And
which verse is on the clock?
Colossians 2:2 should be 2:12.
Well, that's an easy six.
Yeah, that's a really easy six. And I think there's one more, and I don't remember what it is, but it's right in the four pages I handed you. And so we kind of left off. I said we'd be back, and what I decided I'd do was spend the time with the four pages. The reason I did that is so much of a blessing to just study the resurrection and the role of each person in the resurrection. And when we understand that, you know, I always think when I go through these, and I go through them, it seems like rather often, that I'm all ready to preach another Resurrection Sunday message or series. There's a lot here that is fun. And so what I did with the notes that I handed out tonight, I gave you notes. Do I have my notes? Yes. Okay. Yeah, they're right here. I just shuffled my deck down. But I did this so we would have text. Originally, when I started to plan to do this, I thought, well, I'll just hand out the AV text, King James text. And instead, I gave you the Greek text, because I think I'm going to lever off of it a little bit more, and so you can kind of see it. You don't have to know Greek tonight to be able to be in this class, but we'll be teaching some things that relate to Greek. And it's really, really interesting when we understand the dominance of certain things, in fact, a certain tense in the Greek here. And so we'll be emphasizing it as we come along, I mean, go along. Now, we mentioned in resurrection, it's either agairo, you have one of the stand words with it. And so as we relate, we'll be dealing with mostly those forms. Now, you can do the work on this if you want. Anastasis is a noun, which is for resurrection. Agairo is the a verb, which is translated to rise up, but it's used in a lot of other ways. I mean, some of you have done a little resurrecting already tonight, because I've seen you rise up off of your chairs in that merit matter. If the Lord had come back, you wouldn't have just raised up after the chairs. We'd have gone right through the ceiling and gone north and met the Lord in the air. Okay, at an angle.
The other verse that's from is E3, John 20:9 instead of 8.
Okay.
What?
E3.
So E3 on page 32 of the regular notes. So John should be 29 instead of 28. I corrected that a week ago. It doesn't help you any, because I did it on my notes, but I didn't remember which one I corrected.
Okay, say that again. Where?
Okay, page 32 in the Christology notes.
Yeah.
Letter E.
Yeah.
Number 3, Jesus Christ actively raised, and John chapter 20, verse 8 should be 20, verse 9.
Oh,
not 8, right?
Not eight, but nine.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there was probably a good reason for my taking and doing this, so I could correct those instead of driving you crazy with wondering what in the world. And in fact, I kind of wondered what in the world when I went to Colossians 2:2, and I said, no. And went back and double-checked the Greek to make it fly.
So, Pastor Dave, back to this for a second. Is this like what an interlinear would be? This is it in the English, and then this is in the Greek?
Let me intro this so we can... Well, okay. The top verse in English is the King James. That is the authorized version. So it's the whole verse. Now, what I've done in these, I've tried to highlight the line that we want to tie here in the English. More so, it's more important to you if you're interested, because the next is the critical Greek text. And the Greek text, I've highlighted the right word or words to fit in. And so, have the highlights. And I think those highlights are going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with one printer highlighting adequately. But it'll help you so you know. And we'll be talking about how these verbs parse out. I guess I need to say something about that. When I use the word parse, I'm talking about the verb form in the Greek as to how it is identified grammatically. So we have present tense, that's continuous action. Now we're going to be looking at aorists, a bunch of them. We'll talk about it. But present, active or passive, that's voice. Active is the action of a person. Passive is somebody acting upon the person. And then there in the Greek, there's a middle voice, which means they're doing it to themselves. And I did put those in print in these notes. Because Christ raised himself. So you have all three persons involved in this matter. So that present active indicative, or is a fact subjunctive, we won't worry about that part of the grammar. We'll mention it as we come through somewhat. And then, of course, you have third person, second person, first person. It sounds like I'm thinking in Hebrew. The person is, first person is I and we. Second person is you. Third person is they in the plural. And he or she in the singular. And then, of course, singular is singular and plural is plural.
Is what you just covered, is that written down someplace? Because... going over so fast, I can't keep up.
Lots of places.
Yeah, but saying, you talk about it all the time.
Don handed out a sheet that has most of that on it.
Oh, that little one?
Yeah, so I'll put some up. It gives you an idea of what they are.
Yeah, when I say lots of places, any Greek grammar will give you that. But you're not going to have a Greek grammar laying around normally. I make up for what you don't have in my place. I don't know how many Greek grammars I have, more than I want to admit almost in that count, and even more Hebrew grammars. So that's what this layout is.
You mean this? The Greek helps?
Yeah, I think
that is. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's
mine,
it.
Mine got a little wet.
Yeah.
You cried for joy as you read it.
Huh?
You cried for joy as you read it.
Okay. So I did that. I don't think I have a big problem being more a little bit more technical, not a lot. Because to me, this is just a huge amount of fun. So we're going to be hesitant to relate to the ascension side tonight. I had last time talked about or thought about wading into ascension without going back over these, but I think this is a value. And resurrection, I think you know. And so you understand something about it, but I think the thing that most Christians don't really know about the resurrection is this very subject, that all three persons of the Godhead are involved in it. And so that's really important when we understand it. I mean, it's not just a one-person event. yes, there's one person involved in the resurrection, but you have three persons working together in that event. Amen. And so Scripture will talk to you about it. And so that's important to me. I love these passages that tell us that all three persons are cooperating in accomplishing God's plan. And when I recognize I have I get the results of that activity. You get the results of the activity. And that result is resurrection life that we have in our position in Christ. So that's why I wanted to do this tonight. Mm-hmm.
Out of curiosity, I noticed that 1 Corinthians 15 through 14 would end here in these notes. Which one would it be? I thought that's kind of raised. It's not the way he raised himself. He was raised by.
It's not explicit, is the reason I.
Right, but it's not mentioned at all in your notes when I was.
Yeah, well, I chose a different, more general statement. Let's go over there just to make it clear so we can see it. This minute, let me get there so we can do it. 1 Corinthians 15, and I need to have the Greek here. I was almost reticent to put the statement at the beginning because it's not in your notes, and that's what I wanted to do with this. But and so it's... it says he rose again from the dead, and it's in perfect passive indicative. Now, what that doesn't say is who did it. It says he was raised, and if you want to put that verse up under the general statement category, you may, but you don't, no problem. He was raised, so that can narrow it down to one or two other persons of the Godhead. That is the Father and the Holy Spirit, you know. And that, so you can, if you want to put that there, the reason I didn't, and that tense is interesting because he is in a state of having been raised. This is the only time we're going to see the state verb used, whereas the others, most of them are going to be heirs. We've got a future. And a couple of others there.
Romans 8:11 says the Spirit raised him from the dead. Where would that be in that E? Romans 8:11, where it specifically says it.
Oops, wrong page.
Oh, there it is, right there. It's number four.
I was going to say it's on the bottom page, four.
Okay, Pastor Day, which one did you just read? 1 Corinthians what?
15:4.
15:4. Mm-hmm. And that was where on here?
If you want to put that, now I'm at the four pages, I mean, before I hand, if you're looking at those notes, just stick it out in the margin if you'd like to, in page 32.
Okay, that's.
But we don't, I'm looking for specific persons in this list.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't, there are a couple of other places I didn't put it in.
Okay.
I want specifics
as quickly as possible. To your point, a gyro is a state of. Is it? I'm looking for 1 Corinthians 15:4. Am I off?
You
said it's the only one with a state of.
Well, the perfect tense verb.
Oh, it's a perfect tense verb. Okay. Yeah. All right.
You said perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect tense. And what, since we're here, and it's not part of where I intended to go tonight, but a perfect tense verb has the idea of you're in a state of being, having had past benefits that will carry into the future. So you're here now, but this verb covers everything else from an event past into the future. So it's a state of being verb. And so he's in the state of having been raised. You catch that? Having been is a passive. So you have that idea. And so that involves two persons of the Godhead, but they're not specifically identified. So we could have probably put a couple, another header in here, but I wanted to reflect the notes that I gave you, just so that we can work that. Any way you look at it is going to be a blessing, I think. At least I've already been blessed by it. And I haven't even started to teach that part of it yet.
One more question. These verses that you went through that you gave us on these four pages, are there more verses as well?
These are the ones that are specific.
Are specific.
And that's what I want. And I think there are a couple more generals. Of course, the top one is, I think, a general.
Okay. But then why didn't you put the page in 15 and address the specific?
Well, I mean, when I say general, it just says somebody else did it.
Okay, I got you.
So I'm looking specific person. Yeah, I want specific persons. And it's okay to isolate on a person of the Godhead. And especially, it's really important here.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize, and even the problem with Romans 8. I mean, how many verses do you need to say the Holy Spirit has anything to do with the resurrection? One seems like it's adequate.
Eight is good.
Yeah, eight is good, but one will do. On it. And so, you know, and in 1 Corinthians 15:3, it could be just the Father. You know, we don't have the context. And we're going to see, in fact, I was thinking on Sunday, if somebody, we had visitors on Sunday, and I wasn't sure where they were going with when I did my outline. When I say the God, it seems like it's almost redundant for some people. Well, the God is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put that in my sermon notes, and I thought, you know, people aren't used to me. Don't probably understand that on it. And so
I think it's always helpful when you do that.
Well, you know,
it's a good reminder.
Right, and if you're looking in the interlinear, you can say amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you're at somebody's mercy, and it might be mine. In that matter, when we relate to it. Okay, let's look at these, and I'll punch what I want to punch in here. And the verse that I have in here is Romans 6:4. I didn't put a header on, didn't put it down in the Greek side, which I probably could have. But Romans 6:4 says, therefore you are buried together with him by baptism, that is spirit baptism, into death, that like as Christ was raised up out from among dead ones by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Now it's kind of interesting. You say, well, that's the Father, isn't he? I know it says Father. But I also know that it says the glory of the Father. Mm-hmm.
Don't want to take you into the tall grass here, but you got time to tell us just one reason why it's, I mean, what the implication of that is?
Glory is, shows God's opinion of himself, shows that he is who he says he is. And so, I mean, and that can involve anybody in the essence. And that's the reason I put it the way I did. I didn't put it down under the list that we have underneath. But that verse is one we should, and I stopped. Shouldn't have stopped, because the rest of the verse says, even so we should walk in newness of life. Resurrection life. Exactly. And so you have that realm. And so we can walk in the realm of resurrection life because we died and we were buried and we rose again together with Christ. Now, I don't have the together right here, but you have it.
What? Help me out with the missing piece here. Why is it automatically presumed that our walking is going to be resurrection and life and not positional? Because, am I correct here, our response, any doing in any qualified sense that comes from either one of these two John 14:20 relationships, our doing is going to be the living out,
mm-hmm,
manifesting.
Yeah, and resurrection life is part of our position. So we I think we understand that.
The doing part of it is.
But the response to it is kind of the E of ROLE.
Mm-hmm. Employ.
Mm-hmm. Something we have. And so what do we do? With our heads where they need to be, we will employ. And the context here tells us it's got to be resurrection. It does. There's no way you can. Well, you have to. You can do some fancy footwork to make it eternal life.
That seems to be like the work of God in us, not necessarily. In other words, He works in us to will and do of His good pleasure. And that's the result, is the E is the inflowing of, is the doing of.
The response to what he's done. You know,
it's the work of God is that causes that to happen.
Well, and that's the way that works is we got our head where it needs to be. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're occupied with what's at the right hand in our position, and then we can function in that realm. And it's living out resurrection life in that sense. Walking as resurrected ones, mm-hmm. not as dead ones.
Amen.
It's okay to walk dead, but it's better to walk
living. Question, and this is, it might be, you may not want to answer it, but Paul taught that to be out of the body was to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the right hand of God right now,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that we are members of his body.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that die in Christ and sleep, they're in their soul existence, they would be at the right hand with Christ. Isn't that true? Is that true or not true?
Not in their soul.
Let's make it, I hope we can clear this, and that is, our position at the right hand, and those who have gone on before us, and those who are yet to be saved, of which there may be one yet tonight, or maybe none, if the rapture comes, those who are in Christ are thereby, we are thereby imputation.
Mm-hmm.
And imputation is the important part of it. God counts it to be so, and to him it is both actual and real, because he's God.
Mm-hmm.
On it, to us, we get our heads up there, and it's not actual, it's real. I mean, we look at it as God does, so we can do it that way, and that's what makes the difference. And so it's imputed there, and that's where are we at?
Romans
4. No, I'm just looking at this verse. Yeah, we're in Romans 6, 4. It says, like as Christ, in a similar way as Christ, our resurrection is imputed. Christ is an absolute reality. There's a physical body sitting on the throne in the third heaven. So it's both real and actual.
Mm-hmm.
We have both sides. So the imputation is that part of it. And when a person dies, God the Father can count them as being there just like he does before they died. Even before they were born, if his decree was that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can do that. But until the rapture, we will not be together with the Lord as we have in 1 Thessalonians 4. There will be in the presence of.
Paul seemed to speak literal. In other words, he said to be out of the body was to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then he even figured himself in on it when he said, you know, he's between these two things of being there or staying here.
Right.
And he had the impression that it would be best to stay for the sake of the brethren.
Right.
But, I mean, it seemed to me like when he was teaching a literal.
Oh, yeah, but see.
In the presence of the Lord.
The key word is presence.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to be one of the words we use. I was, you know, I really didn't get weighed into it on Sunday. And that is before. Down before, in the presence of, in the face of. It's in opion, is a Greek word, and it doesn't say that you're physically present.
No, not physically.
Even in an intermediate body, you're not, I mean, as far as present. In other words, you're not going to be looking at Jesus before the rapture. He's going to be looking at you.
Even Jesus said, John 12:26, he says that if you serve me, you will be where I am, mm-hmm. and the Father will honor that. Speaking of
mm-hmm.
those who serve him, and to me that means, well, not everybody is serving him. You know, I mean, sometimes I wonder if I serve him.
Yeah.
In any way, you know, but or to what extent is he counting as being?
And there's a problem with 12, uh-huh. verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. I mean, in 12, what's he doing? Is he talking about post-Pentecost?
Second
Corinthians. No, we're talking about John 12.
Well, he's talking about his death there?
Yeah, he's still offering the kingdom in his way. It's still a legitimate offer. I was thinking the other day of some of that.
You're absent from the body here. If it's the 2 Corinthians 5 reference he's talking about, he seems quoted to be contemplating a time after which his body will be dead.
Right.
And so it's not. It seems to me it's not precisely the positional. I mean, it can't be contemplated without positional implications, but it's not precisely the getting your mind in the heavenlies thing he's talking about here. He's talking about, well, it'd be great to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here, and I'm fine while I'm here.
Well, and if we go underground, and we enter the presence of the Lord through death, we're not going to be naked. We're not going to be stripped, as the word in 2 Corinthians 5. But we will be in the word. Come on, I'm trying to think of the Greek. Oh, I'm English all of a sudden. It actually says to be away from home. Mm-hmm. Here is to be in home or at home with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see it in the English.
No.
On it. I wonder how it is in your Spanish Bible.
Oh.
I bet sometimes your translation is better than some of our English translation.
Away from
home. I hope.
Like, yeah, we got right now, but it's kind of like King James.
Oh, okay. I'm trying.
Okay. The away from home idea, you taking that from Daniel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are you getting that, just out of curiosity? I mean, you got a preposition.
Ek and what's the other form? There are two of them right there. I'm not looking at it.
Ek demeo.
Ek is, and then you got another prefix in the same root.
Smack me down. I'm just not.
I'm just not seeing it. Never mind.
It's in there, yeah.
And see, you're not even sitting next to me.
You're
still getting in trouble.
This is a little distance away from where I intended to be.
But just for you, where's your home? Where's your home?
In the present.
Okay. I need to do a little work on
that. At home? Unfortunately, this is a home.
Temporary home.
It's very much a temporary home. We're ready for one that gets us ready for the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll get the final model. You know, I won't say, well, during construction, if we go underground, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. And it says we'll be at home with the Lord in that matter. And so it's, that's a great passage, by the way, to preach at a funeral. Mm-hmm. You know.
At a Christian funeral, right?
Well, we could talk about moving into another realm of existence, but that won't fly. That was one of Dr. Schaefer's classics, I think, that he had it when we, early in the time we were now at Cherry Grove, I think it was the only funeral he did. And they had a graveside. One of the students he asked to pray went out and prayed. And the guy came back after me, I cannot believe it. And I don't think anybody really knew very much of the honored guest. And the honored guest was, probably there was very few people there at the graveside that even liked him. He was, I mean, everything I heard, he was a wicked guy. And his own son wouldn't come and see him until he died. And his son came from Sweden. And so, and the reputation, you know, to have that and to do it tastefully. And Dr. Schaefer said, blank blank, has, that was his name, by the way, not really blank blank, but anyway, he has moved into another realm of existence.
Partially done.
Yeah. And it, so it gave, you know, some idea.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a home like we have. On that, a good word study in those two roots, and that whole root is of value, but that has something to do with the resurrection of Christ. But if we die, we'll have this body, we'll have an intermediate body, then we'll have the resurrection body or glorified body. If we don't die, there will be a transformation, 1 Corinthians 15, and our bodies will be like his, to 1 John 3, 2. But there will be bodies similar to the ones we have here. He uses a form of allelos to describe having a similar body. In other words, we're not going to be little green men with huge pointed ears and all of that. It's going to be similar to what's here in that matter. Okay. Can I return to the subject at hand?
Yes.
Anyway, on that count, oh boy. Okay. Okay, the Father did. Now, it's just when you see God the Father had a role in it. And it's really key. It tells you how great the decree is. And it says, and he's talking, Peter's talking to these Jews, and he says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God, the God, and I didn't put it in here because it's not, I'm not doing headers here. It's literally, the God raised him out from among dead ones, whereof we are witnesses.
Where are you?
I'm on number one. Two-thirds or a third of the way down the page of the new notes, the handouts.
Oh, yeah. Following this one.
No, I wanted you to get the corrections in this one, and then the new ones have it. And so that's when I have the Greek on it. And so what I've highlighted there in that verse, you have ha theos. Now, I know it didn't sound like a ha. It looks like an O. It's an Omicron. But that little hootie-doo on top of it is an accent, and it hardens it. And what it is ha theos. Hear it? Theology. So it's the God with an article. Now, let me make a comment quickly, because we encourage you to use interlinears. But you know, if you looked at this and it said tu theou, you'd probably have a problem because they're different cases. And so there's a lot more to know just because you have an interlinear. Don't get smart because you have an interlinear. Study and then you can get smart on it, because it's really confusing, because Greeks have forms and articles and endings and cases and all of these kinds of things. And so here he says, the God, and then he says, actively raised him. Actively raised, I put the him in because it makes better sense. God actively raised him. That's an aorist. At the point of resurrection, God the Father was involved. Aorists are point actions. They're punctiliar. It's an accomplished, complete action. Mm-hmm. And so he raised him, and he actively did it. It's an aorist, first aorist, active, indicative. Indicative. I looked at the ending and said, whoops. Yeah. And so he really did it at that point in time. Did he have to do it afterwards? No. Christ's resurrection was the first kind of resurrection. Mm-hmm. The first one. That is, he rose never to die again. You have resuscitation, they rose and died again. But he's the first one. When we are resurrected in his resurrection, when we're resurrected at the rapture, when he calls us out of the graves, if we're there, if we're on the earth, he calls us, and it's going to be a resurrection or a change in our bodies that we'll never die again. The end of death. And so when we think in these terms, and out from among dead ones. And you can see there's a little ek, zek, out. And then the word nekron is a plural noun for dead. So it's dead ones. And so you can kind of see, I'm going through highlights. I'm not going to tend to go to some of the other things here. So you can see the Father, and then you can see it by the God. Are we making sense? The God is the one that did it. And he raised it at a point in time. He was actively involved. I think when I look at this, all three persons involved at that very moment he raised from the dead. Wouldn't it have been interesting to be a little mouse in the tomb when all three persons brought him to life? We wouldn't have been able to grasp it, nor could a mouse. You know, when we think of it. Acts 4:10. Peter continues, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, I'm going to stop there for a quick minute, by the name, the character, it's not a title, by the character of Jesus of Nazareth, who he is, his person, by him. Again, remember name, when it's used of Jesus Christ, is most often used of his character and quality. You know, you will call him by a name, that is Jesus, But it's normally, when you see name, it deals with his character. You know, if you ask in Jesus' name, I will do it. Mm-hmm. If you ask in my name, I will do it. So you have to do it in the character of Christ. Don't come up with your own hodgepodge request. Ask him in his character. And maybe that hodgepodge won't be a hodgepodge anymore. Because you'll know what he wants. You're not dreaming up something to ask. Because you should know when you ask what you're going to, the answer is always going to be yes. Using that ITEL communication sounds like another class. So it says, whom you crucified and whom the God raised out from among dead ones. Now, when you look at that line, that's, I didn't realize I had not killed the other italics. Anyway, you look at that bottom line in the Greek. Now look up at Acts 3:15. Dittos. Duplicated. Both eras. So you can see that. That's what to me is fun. Acts 5:30. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. The God of our fathers. See, Hathaos is right there at the beginning. Now he goes, he's talking to a Jewish audience, so he can say, of our fathers. Kind of interesting when you see that. To me, it's very interesting theology. To call the Father, and he's called Jehovah sometimes, not all the time, because most of the time it's the Son that's Jehovah. Jehovah was in the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. That's a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Son. And in the cloud, and the pillar of fire, the person of the Godhead who was there, and we've been kind of in that already, is involved in this. Another aorist active indicative, the same form that we've been looking at down through. At that point in time. Sounds like after three verses I should pound the table. Mm-hmm. It's so strong. Mm-hmm. And that aorist. I see. You grabbed that just in case I did. Yeah. Acts 10:40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And so here you have the gyro, and you have hathaos again, and here you have the same form that we've been looking at. Another aorist active indicative in Acts 10:40. At that point, pound the table, at that point, and it was that point where the three persons were involved in that resurrection event. In that matter, the only addition here is in the third day. There's a little question as whether "in" is there. You see the brackets around. There's a textual problem as to whether it's there or not. It doesn't make any difference really. Where it makes a difference, if you were studying Greek and you were diagramming, you'd have to diagram it a little differently. So you drop it for a preposition phrase. Acts 13:50. But the God raised him out from among dead ones. There's a whole phrase in one verse. Mm-hmm. Now, the second word in is death, and that's a but or now. It's a little particle, a conjunctive particle. And so that's Acts 13:30. Again, you see, it sounds like we're in a rut here with these first aorist active indicatives.
Sounds really matter of fact.
Matter of fact, a tad authoritative.
Yeah.
When we understand it in that matter, and that's the fun of it.
So if it says the God, it's safe to assume it's
the Father. Mm-hmm. Okay, rule of thumb when you see the God is read the context. I mean, anywhere you go in Scripture, you've got to read context. And so, when it's not, if it doesn't have an article, it can refer to the Father. But often, when there's no article in front of it, it refers to the Godhead. That is, the three persons.
Are there any places where hathaos shows up where it's not referring to the Father?
Some, yeah. But they're in interesting forms where they connect on it. And that's why I say context is going to tell you a lot. Just live with context. Because that's an answer. If you want to look like a smart believer, whether you are or not, read context. I used to smile, and you know, my first pastorate, I'd get these questions, and you know, I had been out of seminary for 3 months, so I'd been in seminary a day or two, and so what happened? If somebody came up, I realized, because I knew this to be true because of all the other things I'd done before that, and they'd come up and ask a question out of the blue. You know, you think this thing of rabbit trails is something special here. It started early in my ministry, and I get a question about something that wasn't even pertinent to the message. And so I'd be at the door, and somebody had their Bible open, and they'd say, what about this here? And so I'd be, I haven't studied that for 2 years. And I'm busily reading context. Mm-hmm. And so what would I say? What's this down here? What's this down here? They thought I knew what I was talking about. I just know how to read context.
That's a textual error.
And so that makes a difference there. Okay, Romans 8:24. Now we're shifting into a different form of the verb. From an indicative mood, but we're moving into a participle. And I'm just reading the verses. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Amen. They translated imputed. It's logizomai. It's the word for impute. And so it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord out from among dead ones. And so upon the one, see, you have an article in front of that third word in. That's the word raised. It's a participle, which is what? A participle is a noun as well as a verb. So we could call it a verbal noun. And so there's an action in a participle, and here it's a singular, and it's referring to the one person, and that's the Father in this context, who raised Jesus, our Lord, of the Lord of us, out from among dead ones. Some more out from among dead ones. Just don't forget, every time we see out from among dead ones, he left most of them. He came by himself when he came out. And so he left, and so the graves were all occupied after he left. He did lead some from captivity captive to the edge of the third heaven. But he was out from among dead ones, and they are still in the same state they were in Sheol or Hades when they're at the edge of the third heaven. They haven't gotten a resurrection body like they will in the second coming. And so it's, remember, that's different. Those are in Sheol, edge of the third heaven. Their prospect is a physical body when Christ returns to earth. Our prospect is we will get glorified, our resurrection bodies, which are glorified bodies like his, when he comes to take us up in the air, 7 years before, plus the second coming. And so when we think in these terms, I think it's helpful. Galatians 1:1 is kind of nice when you get the resurrection referred to in the beginning of the book, an epistle. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And the word by is through, dia, through the agency of Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from among dead ones. And our agairos form is another participle, and it's a singular. See, there's an odd little article in front of it. It's a different case is all. It's two is not a ha in here, but it's the same, the one who raised him out from among dead ones. And so, you know, it's the Father, God the Father. Raised him. And again, it's an aorist, though it's a participle, and it's an active participle. Colossians 2:12. It says, buried together with him in baptism, not water but spirit, wherein also you are risen together with him. Now, this is meddling, isn't it? It's saying we participated in his resurrection soon at Gyro. Participated together in it. It's another aorist, but it's a passive. It's a passive, you know, and we have been those who have been risen. Someone else raised us. That's position. That's imputation. Together with him through the faith of the operation of God. And you have the God. And the word operation is energias, energy. The one who is raising, another aerostative indicative, him out from among dead ones. You think these aorists are important down through this section? That point action, that completed action, that finished action. He did it. Doesn't have to do it again. And when you talk resurrection, he doesn't need to be resurrected again. He doesn't need to be put to death again so he can be resurrected. Because his work was adequate, was satisfactory, was perfect, and it doesn't need to be done again because he's done it all. Mm-hmm. Once and for all. So when we understand it, and the Father's involved in that manner. Last one of the Fathers I have in here is, who by him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead, or out from among dead ones again. And another, what? You're right. An aorist active indicative. Finished, complete action, done. Mm-hmm. So we have this list, and I'm not reading context. I'm going to read the next part of this verse because I left that. I didn't finish it. And gave him glory. Freely gave him glory. Sounds like something to do with the ascension. That your faith and hope might be in God. You see the last word in that Greek verse? You see in the article there? You see this little E-I-S. Ice. But you don't have an article. I like that. In God quality, in deity, okay, I want to interpret it, that is, in the Godhead. Not just one person, all three. So when you think of that,
This gave him glory, that has got to be to his humanity, right?
He had plenty of it in his deity.
Didn't need any additional glory in his deity.
Absolutely not.
So he's glorifying, he is compounding glory on the glorified humanity of Christ. Is this going to relate to this day? Have I brought you forward at any point? Or?
It is a part of it, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm skimming cream. There's a lot of places we can go with this.
Acts 13.
And,
maybe. Just have a brought you forward.
Yeah. Acts 13. There's a lot of places we can go here that relate. And so. But I like to see that, and what, it just happened to fall last of my list because I was going kind of book order. And when you have the anarthrous form in that case. Now, Jesus Christ raised himself. Now, in this, I went ahead and I did put some parsing in so you wouldn't get me wrong. It would be printed on it. And so, Mark 9:31, it says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." And it says, "And after the third day he will rise." Another Greek lesson. I translated a form there that most, when we learn vocabulary, you're on meta as with. And I translated it after, and it's because of a rule of grammar. Meta with an accusative case. Now, if I'm over your head, just turn me off for 2 seconds. Meta with the accusative is translated meta after. Now, you may remember this from the communication class, because we have that little list in 1 Timothy 2 where it says after Thanksgivings, and it's a meta with an accusative. So that's how far do we dare go in our class in detail? I don't want to totally overwhelm you with some of this. But you see, after the third day, he will rise. And that's a good rule of grammar. I smile when I see our Greek guys coming out and saying they know that rule is with the accusative.
Shouldn't we translate that? He will raise himself.
That's where I'm headed.
Oh, I'd be just a bunch of words.
Yeah, I mean, it says that right after that in brackets. Yeah. I wanted to emphasize, after the third day, he will raise himself. It's a middle voice. He'll do it to himself. That's why this point is here. He's involved in his own resurrection. And so, like I say, it would be interesting to have some kind of, you know, did he have some angels witnessing this? You know, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, that meeting there, that instant meeting by which he's raised, must have been an interesting gathering, as it were, as if they needed to be together that close. Mark 10:34. And it's just down in the next chapter. A future middle indicative. They shall mock him, they and shall scourge him, and shall spit it upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Let's translate it like we did. After the third day he will raise himself. And so there's this issue of third day. How long is the third day? But it's meta. It's after the third day. And, most beginning Greek grammars will tell you that.
And I mean, we haven't mentioned it, but I presume that we're using his divine, the divine part of him that's raising himself. It's not raising himself.
Right. Yeah, so it's his person and the divine nature that activates that resurrection. Judy? Which part, which nature? He does that. We did some of that drill back when and figured that out, so you can see it. But again, that's... Didn't I put that? Okay, I got the middle in there. It's after the Greek. I don't promise you any great order in this because I did this rather quickly. So you would have it. So I did put those middles in here because that way you would know. Okay, he actively raised. He raised himself and he was active in the resurrection. And John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple in 3 days. In 3 days, I will raise it up actively. And there, what do we have? He uses a future active indicative. In 3 days. Kind of interesting, this grammar around prepositions. And in 3 days, he'll raise it up. Active, active, active. And we've seen the Father's active, he's middle. I think that God is just saying, you know, this resurrection is the real McCoy. When we look at it. Then we come to Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days actively raise. It's in the second aorist active infinitive, and we're going to see another one down here somewhere down in Luke 24. After another meta with an accusative. So we've already seen three of those after 3 days. Then we've seen one in 3 days on that matter. Now, let's keep going so we can get through this list, so I will come back to our regular notes. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man the things they had seen. This is after the transfiguration. Till the Son of Man actively raise out from among dead ones. So he said, don't tell anybody what he'd seen. What did those disciples do? They wanted to set up a tent and camp up there with him. You know, who wouldn't want to sit there with Moses and Elijah and Christ? That would have been a great Bible conference. So they wanted to set up a tent. I mean, I thought it's so funny that they would react that way. Let's go camping, Lord.
It would be a great dispensation that would cover sin. They had a lot of...
Yeah, they'd have one hand going one way and one the other in that matter. And so you can see there. This is so much fun. I just have to keep reading on that. Luke 24:7. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And there you have a passive infinitive. And the third day, and there you have the third day raised up. No preposition in front of it. So there's another reference, and this is the second aorist active infinitive. Why did I put that in there that way? I skipped some down here as I went. Luke 24:46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Lord. The word behoove is a word for necessary. So it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to raise out from among dead ones, and that's an aorist active infinitive, the third day. You know, it seems like that must be a kind of important if it says third day as often as it does and mixes two prepositions and makes the direct object out of that in this focus. John 20.
Articular.
The third day.
The Christ.
Yeah, and there it can't be because of its position. It can't refer to the entity called the Christ, but it's the person. And that's probably a reference. I mean, when they would read it, they may be thinking in terms of Messiah because he hadn't descended.
That was my question.
Yeah, the Messiah.
But you think the implication is it's the anointed, but it. What is our correct interpretive implication? Messianic or?
Well, he's talking to a Jewish audience, and it's, I think what it's doing is validating the offer of the kingdom in Acts. You know, the Messiah. He hadn't descended yet, but when he ascends, he'll become Christ, the glorified, resurrected one. Yet there's a legitimate offer of the kingdom in Acts, in Acts 2. And so with that legitimate offer of the kingdom, you know, it's going to, I mean, and they had the choice. I mean, do we want him to be king or not? Of course, God knew better, and thank God for that. Because we are here, and we have become a part of a third entity that didn't exist when he said this. Remember, you had Jews and Gentiles, but now there's that third race of the Church of God. And so, you have to remember that flow. You have that offer of the kingdom in Acts 2, and it's a legitimate, absolute legitimate offer of the kingdom. If you don't understand that, you've got a little problem with early Acts in that matter. And you can become what you shouldn't become, and that is to make two churches. And there's none. That's not true. Acts chapter 20. I'm Jax. John 20, verse 9. Yeah, I can't even put them together, can I? For as that they knew not the scripture that he must rise again out from among dead ones. It's kind of interesting. Dan's question was somewhat was pertinent because these guys, when they understood Christos, they had a couple passages in the Old Testament they should have known. That the Christos in Isaiah 53. Would suffer and that victor.
Don't let me take you into tall grass here, but
you can fight with tall.
There is a lot of just rabble. I mean that not as a noun, but as a verb from the rabble. This continuity discontinuity thing between the progressives and the classic dispensationalists. The continuity they are seeking may be in that it is not two separate the anointeds. They just had no idea that this was part of this anointed concept.
Right. And they have big problems with that.
Chills up down my spine. The thing that made me think that was something that Byron said to me. Put that on the list that Byron found
out. All right. Are you writing a biography?
No, but I'm just thinking it's profitable to remember what things these guys who have come into your life have pointed out to you.
Right. So, yeah, very good. Okay, let's knock these last little bit out. Acts 10:41, not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he actively rose out from among dead ones. And so this is a testimony in 10. And you have meta with an infinitive construct. It's another aorist in that matter. Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ much needs have suffered and risen again out from among dead ones. And you have again an aorist, second aorist, active infinitive. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For since we believe, and at dinner tonight we were talking about conditional sentences, And this is one of those, the first class condition. So since, it's there for the sake of argument. So it says, for since we believe that Jesus died and actively rose again, second aorist active indicative, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Together with him, by the way, soon. And so when you think of this, since we believe that he actively raised
with him, that soon compound there, you could take that back to Romans 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how position becomes a reality, an actuality. So, conversely, the implication of the Holy Spirit's involvement is this, actually, 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus out from among dead ones dwells in you, he that raised up Christ out from among dead ones shall make alive your bodies by his Spirit that indwells you or dwells within you. And the dwelling there is in oikos, oinoikeo. It means to be at home in or at, in the house on it. And so we have two occurrences of gyro. I didn't mark the last one on that first line. It has a gyros. If you want to mark it, it's in the first line. You can see it's the same, but it's also an aorist. Finished, done, punctiliar.
I thought it was quite interesting tonight. The book of Acts is a book that one needs to be very careful about developing theology. You know, a lot of Christians make the error of using the book of Acts as a guide for nowadays in a lot of ways. But yet, in this book we're studying tonight, eight passages in the book of Acts discuss the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day. And of course, all the context in Acts, of course, is such evangelism being one of the main things. But I just thought that it's interesting that that is one of the doctrines that we can take from the book of Acts and learn and practice. But some of the others, we need to be really careful with.
Right. And that's context again.
Context.
Yeah. Okay. So I've given you a list. I've given you a grocery list. Lots of times I give you a grocery list because I have to hurry. I think my life is just nothing but a hurry. And we come to something like this. A list like this with the context around each of these passages. I don't even want to think about how long it would take me to preach the context of all of this. Because there's so much there. I've done some of it over many years because this happens to be one of the places I just inevitably, when I know I'm preaching a Resurrection Sunday message, I tend to come here before I go anywhere else because it's such a blessing to me, and that gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to make it easy on me so I can just preach these things. No, to lead me to some other areas too. And so I wanted to share it this way, as somewhat independent. And if you had problems with the Greek, I'm sorry in that matter. Don is going to remedy that by bringing this grammatical thing.
Hebrew.
Now, Hebrew.
And I will bring Hebrew.
Yeah, I could bring you a Hebrew half sheet to get all of that, but not a Greek half sheet, because I don't. I let others do. I can only do so much on it. So, okay, let's break.